Hey, if you didn't bring a Bible, it's okay. There's one in the pew rack right in front of you. Or use your phone. It's okay. Grab your phone. Whichever one works best for you, I'm more interested in the one you'll read. Look at Luke 6. Luke is the third book of the New Testament, written by the only non-Jew in the New Testament, is Luke. Look at that. Luke 6. We are in our series called Faith by Number. Faith by Number. In several weeks ago, we started and we did number one, which is John 14:6, where Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That means there's only one way to eternal life. There's only one truth to live by. And there's only one life worth living. And that is in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Then we saw the next week after that, that there's only two commandments. The two great commandments Jesus gave was to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and then to love your neighbor as yourself. Because as we love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, God will allow circumstances that frustrate our flesh, but it's for our good, so that when we surrender to the inner man, we surrender to the Holy Spirit's leading inside, the character of God himself actually lives through us. In our weakness, the strength of God comes through, and then we can love people. We can love those around us, and they experience God through us, basically, is what happens. Then we saw the three things we must dedicate to God if we're going to have the victorious Christian life in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. This is a voluntary choice you must make. You need to cowboy up and present yourself and say, it's me. I pick a side here, brothers and sisters. Did God save you or didn't he? And if he did, then present your bodies and say, I'm going to give you my body and my mind and the rest of my life. Listen, I'm in this to win it, all right? I picked a side. I mean, God picked a side. You know, when you think about it, he picked a side. He went all the way to the Calvary. I don't know that I could have if I was in his place, but he went all the way to Calvary. He picked a side. Holy cow, he didn't just stick his toe in. He came all the way and went all the way to Calvary. And so last week we looked at the four truths that conform us to the image of Christ. And we saw that in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. We recognize that we're helpless, that you and I do not have the ability to do the things God has called us to do. The Bible says in Isaiah 64:6 that all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. The ability to love like we're supposed to love, we don't have. So I have to go to God to receive the grace. I have to go to God and say, God, I need your grace. I need your power to love like you do. I need your grace, God, to forgive like you forgive. God, I need your grace. I don't have it in me to be gentle and to be kind and to bear the fruits of the Spirit like you want to do through me. My flesh, I can't put it down like you want me to unless I receive your grace, unless I surrender control to the Holy Spirit of God. I have to recognize I'm helpless. This try harder Christianity is from Satan. Everything you need to live the Christian life has already been done by the Lord Jesus Christ, and the power of the Holy Spirit is accessible to you. So I have to reaffirm my helplessness. I need to realize my identity in Jesus Christ. I need to remember that I'm dead to this world. I'm dead to sin, but alive unto Jesus Christ. And recognize the power of faith, that I step out by faith in obedience to God's word. I do it because God says, if I do this, then he's going to do that. And I trust him. And I let go of this concept of I own me. I don't own me. I don't own anything. I don't own anything. You realize one day your soul and your spirit, who is the real you, will leave this body. You will leave this body behind. And if your body hurts like my body hurts, you're going to say, amen, woo, going to get me a new one day, right? No more snap, crackle, and pop when you get out of bed, right? It's going to be a new one. I can't wait for the upgrade. Now, these are the bedrock of our justification and our sanctification. You understand? This is the bedrock. When you trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, by the way, have you trusted Jesus Christ your Savior? Say amen. Amen. If you trusted Christ, there's a whole lot of things that happened to you. Maybe you're unaware of, but a whole lot of things. You were sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God took up residence inside you. Your name was written down in the roll up in heaven. In inerasable, unerasable ink. Heaven was notified of your inbound travel. The itinerary's already been set. Jesus knows you're coming, and he knows to take you when he comes. But now that we're here, God has left us some truths that we can build our life on for his glory. And he's left them there. He didn't hide them. They're clear, plain, and straight in Scripture. And you're going to find them in Luke 6. Now, we want to build our lives. Now, it's interesting. I was raised, my father built modular homes. Modular homes are homes that were built in a large aircraft size hangar type building up in Wisconsin. And they were built on running gear. And they would come down in halves. Sometimes they were split level. Sometimes they were ranch style. Either way, some were almost two-story. But they would come together and they would bolt together. And once he capped the ends and the top, you couldn't tell. They looked like any other kind of stick-built house because that's what they were. They were 2x6 walls and 2x12 floor joists and 2x6 rafters. They were sturdy, and they're still up today. But Dad would always be the one who dug out the foundation and poured the basement, and I was the guy who had to go around and help him on Saturdays. And that's something I learned to do. And Dad would always dig down real deep and make sure he'd take a piece of rebar and he would stick it in the ground to make sure we were down into something solid before he laid the footers and then put up the forms. There are five truths that build a foundation in our life that shape a form for us that we can build our life upon. And it's like building a house. Our lives are built daily upon the bedrock of this salvation you and I enjoy in Jesus Christ. But he's left us those forms, those molds that give shape and establish that those walls that are unyielding to the pressures. It's all going to make sense here in a minute. The pressures of life. Look at verse number 39. Now, listen, I'll read the odd numbers out loud. You guys read the evens, okay? Here we go. Verse number 39 of Luke 6. If you found it, say amen. Amen. And he spake a parable unto them. Can the blind lead the blind? And they not both fall into the ditch? The disciple is not above his master, but every one that is perfect shall be as his master. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but perceivest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Either how canst thou say to thy brother, Brother, let me pull out the mote that is in thine eye, when thou thyself beholdest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite! Cast out first the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to pull out the mote that is in thy brother's eye. For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart, bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaketh. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and dig deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon the house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, and against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Let us pray. Father, help us now. Help us. Help us to understand. For your glory and for your kingdom and for your name's sake, Father, let us be buildings that you can reside in, that you can glorify by your presence, and Father, that you can bear fruit in a most glorious way. In Jesus' name, amen. Number one, listen. What does this mean? What are we talking about? All right? There are five foundations that give you a firm foundation. Five forms, five things that mold and shape and will withstand the pressures of life. Number one is who you follow, what you focus on, the fruit you bear, and I needed an F, so it was whose will you fulfill, or basically who you obey, and what you're founded upon. So those are your key words that you'll be looking at today. Number one, who is it you're following? Because it matters. Everybody follows somebody, right? And listen, who you follow determines your destination. Look at verse number 39. Can the blind lead the blind? Now that's a rhetorical question. Shall they not both fall into the ditch? Who you follow determines where you end up in life. It's true. Everybody follows somebody. All right? You got here by following somebody. Somebody has affected you. Somebody has helped you. Somebody has hurt you. And it has made you who you are and brought you to where you are today. You may not have chosen those circumstances, but God is using them. Romans 8, 28 and 29. There is a purpose to the pain. Now, not only does who you follow determine your destination, it also determines your development. Look at verse number 40. The disciple, look at that. That's the one following, the student, is not above his master. He's not above his teacher or the one who he is following. But everyone that is, now look at that next phrase, that is perfect. Now, in 1611, the word perfect meant mature. The English language has changed. But the word perfect in 1611 meant mature, complete, perfect, properly trained. So the disciple or the student, the one following, is not above the master or the teacher or the one who is being followed. But everyone that is perfect or complete or properly trained shall be as his master or will become like his teacher and be a teacher of others. We become like the person who we follow. I mean, you tell me who your friends are, and I'll tell you what you are. You tell me who your friends are. See, the buddy system fails if your buddy is just as ignorant as you are. I mean, let me give you an example. What advice, what good, honest, and advice can a 13-year-old boy give another 13-year-old boy about girls? Right? I mean, isn't that the blind leading the blind right there? Come on, think about it now. I mean, I've been married 35 years. I can barely speak woman. Anybody in here speak woman? I can order a pizza and find the bathroom in woman. Other than that, and if you give me a different dialect of woman, it completely breaks down. Huh? Seriously. They say, I was watching a TED Talk or a podcast, and there was this professional trainer for the rich and famous billionaires, and he says, you've heard of the phrase, it takes a village to raise a child, but what if the village idiots are, if the village is full of idiots? And he's like, see, the problem is we never rise above the level of those we follow. We always fall short. So that's why we should be on we should pick the best teachers, the best mentors, and always be on the lookout for the best ones. And when I say best, I mean the ones that are the closest to the Lord. Because everybody's following everybody. So who is it you're listening to? What goes in those eyes and ears? Because what goes in your eyes and ears sinks down into your heart and will eventually come out your hands, your feet, and your mouth. Listen to me. If you don't like what's coming out the hands, feet, and mouth of your children, you got to start asking yourself, what's going in their eyes and their ears? And who put it there? Now, side note, let me pause. Nobody had to teach my kids to lie. Right? I mean, that's just genetics from my mother-in-law. We all have our crosses to bear. Right? But seriously, nobody taught your kid how to be selfish, right? They come natural, right? But have you ever noticed you're raising your kids and all of a sudden it's like, whoa, where did that come from? Okay, if you don't like what's coming out their hands, feet, and their mouth, you got to start asking what's going in their eyes and their ears. Did you notice, maybe you didn't notice this, but during COVID, you know, homeschooling spiked and the number of kids in public school dropped. And you're like, well, yeah, they were all home. No, I mean, people pulled their kids out of public school and said, no, I'll do this at home. I don't need you. Why? Because they didn't like what was coming through the tablet. Maybe you ought to go back and watch some of those videos. Now you have to start asking yourself, who do you listen to? Take your Bible, go to the book of Psalms, chapter number 1. Come on now. Psalms chapter number 1. Look what the Bible says. Psalms chapter number 1. Now God warns us. God tells us. Now, do you believe God knows everything? Does that bother you that God knows everything? Sometimes he knows where you were Friday night. We'll have an invitation. You can fix that later. Look at Psalm chapter 1. God tells us who not to listen to. Look at this now. Blessed. Now, brothers and sisters, listen. We need to define that word. Because when you pray, don't be hazy, lazy, or crazy in your prayers. Hazy is, Lord, bless everybody. Don't do that. That's hazy. Be specific. The word blessed means happy, full, the active goodness of God released into the life of others. That's blessed. Now think about that for a second. Wouldn't that be cool? I mean, I remember, how many know what a network marketing scheme is? Anybody? 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 Okay. All right, so Mrs. Mix and I, we used to take these vitamins, okay? And they came through a network marketing company, okay? And so they had all these promises on the side of the box of these supplements, okay? It didn't say that you could fly, but about 2:00 in the morning, I thought I could because, man, I was still up and still going. You know what I'm saying? We're both sitting in bed going, are you tired? No, I ain't tired either. I mean, we would go all day and look at a pizza and go, are you hungry? No, it just seems too heavy. No, I'm just going to walk away. You know? 3-4 days later, we're still going, nah, it's still too much. Huh? Right? But the thing is, they make all these promises. And where was I going with that? Oh, blessed. Anyway, okay. You think you have all this energy and all this power. And you I don't know where I was going with that. But anyway. Oh, okay. They talk about the Lord wants me to stop. The Lord wants me to stop on that. Okay, thank you, Lord. Anyhow, who are you listening to? Blessed, okay. The active goodness of God released. That's what it was. There you go. Could you imagine what it would be like? The active goodness of God unleashed. To me, it was kind of like those vitamins were like, wow. I could stay up all day. I could work all day and stay up most of the night and get so much done. What could you get done? What would your life be like if God was actively working in your life all day long? What would your life be like? That's what the word blessed means. The active goodness of God unleashed. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. That means he doesn't take advice from anyone who does not love God. See, the people who don't love God won't help you serve God. They that do not love God will not help you serve God. It's not in their best interest. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. The man that's blessed will not engage in the entertainment of those who do wrong. Wow, that cut a little close to the skin, didn't it? Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. The blessed man, the man who's happy, full, and the active goodness of God has been unleashed in his life, does not assume the position of the critical people who criticize everybody. So if we'll be happy, we'll choose not to follow the counsel of those who don't love God. If we're going to be happy and full and the active goodness of God unleashed in our life, we'll choose not to engage in the world's entertainment. If we're going to be happy and full and blessed, then we're not going to choose to be influenced by the negative people that just criticize. So the best teachers are those who love God, who are not worldly in their lifestyle, who encourage and build and edify other people and point them and draw them closer to God. Now, I don't know if you've noticed this or not, but not everybody in church has their junk together. Well, actually, let me rephrase. Nobody in church has all their junk together, right? None of us have all of our junk together. But you know, there are people in this church who have their junk together in some areas. They really do. The Bible says in Psalm 37 and verse 37, mark the perfect man. The word perfect doesn't mean sinless. It means mature, complete, fully trained. That's what it meant in 1611. So if you find a guy or a gal, because we have some godly women in this church, praise the Lord, who have their proverbial junk together, they're complete, they're mature, they're fully trained in a specific area of their life, mark that person, because it says, behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. You know, I could learn from that person. I could learn from that man or that woman if I'm not too proud to ask questions. Like, there's certain people in this church who know how to handle money and are good stewards. And if I'm not too proud to admit that I'm bad at it and ask their advice, I might could learn something. There's some folk in this church been married longer than most folks have been alive. And their marriage is good and it's sweet. Now, there is some folk that I've met in this town that have been married 40 and 50 years, and when they said, until death do us part, they were actually setting a goal. You ever met those people? Right? But there's some folk in this church who've been married a long time, and their marriage is sweet. You might could learn something if you ask questions. You see what I'm saying? Who are you listening to? Who are you following? Because without direction, both fall into the ditch, the Bible says. Now, these teachers that you're following will also help you with decisions like how to walk with God, how to find the right mate and have that relationship, and what career works and what you shouldn't. Because listen, God has a plan for you, but so does Satan. Oh, yeah. And you think to yourself, no. Oh, yeah, Satan's got all kinds of money. Did you know that? Let me give you an example. Typical kid grows up, goes to high school, does well, tries to get scholarships, head off to college. You know, and at college, they typically meet their mate, and they get married. All right? And then who they marry determines what your grandkids look like and where you're going to spend, where your kids are going to spend the next 50 Christmases. And all of that was determined by the decision which college they went to. And that decision was based on how much money they got in scholarships. You just made the decision, and a lot of times it's a decision of $5,000 to $10,000 difference between this college or this college. So you made the decision on who your kids were going to marry based on a $5,000 or a $10,000 decision. A decision basically the price of a used car. Actually, a junker. You made the decision on what your grandkids would be like on the price of a junker. Because you didn't ask God. Who are you listening to? Because back in Psalms, or in Luke chapter 6, if the blind leave the blind, they shall both fall into the ditch. And the disciple is not above his master. So whoever you're following, you're going to be like them. And by the way, there is somebody following you, mom and dad. And they're going to become like you. So you need to know who you're who's following you, and you need to figure out who you're following, because guess what? They're never going to get to where you are. They're always going to fall short of you. So make sure they fall short on safe ground. Some of you need to start coming to church an extra service a week. Some of you only come once, so you need to pick up a second service. Now, that cut a little close to the bone, didn't it? But you know what? If you just stick to one service a week, guess where your kids are going to fall at? No service a week. No. Yeah. That's exactly where they're going to fall at. Because you didn't value it enough. That's why we don't let you just drop the kids at Awana and drive off. Because what you just told your kids were, you know, it's just for children and old people. I don't really need it. So when I grow up to be dad, like dad or mom, I don't need church. So your one service a week becomes no service a week. Some of you come to church, but you don't serve. You don't find ways to keep people out of hell. Where are your kids going to fall at? They're going to fall short on, I don't need to worry about that. Somebody else will take care of keeping people out of hell. I had a very uncomfortable conversation with my neighbor last night. I said, someday you're going to have to tell that kid who Jesus is. He works a very dangerous job. And one day, two uniformed people could show up at his house and say, Daddy's not coming home. What do you think his view of God's going to be? So who are you following? You need to get this right, because you only get one shot at this, Mom and Dad. You really only get one shot at this. And by the time your kids are about 7 or 8, they're set on a course. And it's hard, hard, hard to change courses. Now, I love you. I love you, and I'm not trying to be ugly. I am talking from experience. I have 4 sons. They're now adults. And I have no one else to blame. And number 2, I don't have the ability to parent them anymore. I have no control unless they let me. And one of these days, you're going to be in my boat going, you blinked, and they went from infant to wrecking their car. They went from wrecking your dishes to wrecking your furniture to wrecking your cars to breaking your heart. So who are you following? Because they're following you. Your next word is focus. Look at go back to Luke 39 or Luke 6 and look at verse 41. What you focus on determines our effectiveness in life. Verse 41, the Bible says, and why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but perceivest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Why is it that everybody else in life has to change and not you? Verse 42, either how canst thou say to thy brother, brother, let me pull out the mote that is in thine eye, when thou thyself beholdest not the beam? He's got a little speck in his eye, but you got a 2 before hanging out your head. Thou hypocrite. Who do you think you are? See, our flesh wants to focus on the perceived spiritual shortcomings of other people rather than focusing on our spiritual needs and weaknesses. See, it's everybody else who needs to change. The word hypocrite means an actor. See, it's my wife. She needs to change. She's so bitter. She's so withdrawn. Did you marry a woman? Did you check? I mean, have you checked? All of her needs falls under the word security. And all of the things that you've done over the past whatever years has withdrawn from the, has taken away from those needs. Well, my husband, you know, my husband, he's so distant. You married a guy, right? this stuff that he isn't like you. But everything he needs falls under the word security. And everything about you that doesn't come natural to you detracts from that. And we're acting like, you know, I'm okay. We're okay. And we put on this false front and we start picking at other people that they need to change. And we know what's wrong with everybody else. And we're even stepping up wanting to assist everybody else because it's easier than looking at this person. Helping others, God said we're supposed to serve others. God said we're supposed to help other people. Yeah, but he didn't design it so we could hide from us. From ourselves. Hypocrisy is ignoring our sin and judging others. I mean, in Romans chapter 2 and verse 21, thou therefore which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? I mean, so I went to El Paso, I was in El Paso for 6 years, right? And all right. Yeah, I'm a guy of pretty big girth, okay? I'm a big dude, okay? I'm like from those people that lived on the east side of Germany and Prussia. We're like the Vikings that like killed everybody. And you know what I'm saying? We're the ones that survived, okay? I'm not from the little bitty guys that got back to the cave. I'm the big guys that killed the dinosaurs. Oh, you know what I'm saying? Okay, all right. So I come walking into the clinic, right? And here's this little bitty guy. And he's like, oh, my soul, you must have high cholesterol. Look how big, you're so fat. I admit, I can't really breathe when I bend down to tie my shoes. I get it. I lose breath. I get it. He goes, I had a heart attack at Christmas. You must have cholesterol off the charts. I'm like, no, I don't think so. He goes, oh, yes, yeah, we'll take blood. And so I come back a week later, and he's like, I don't understand. All of your levels are all within, you know, whatever. He says, and I had a heart attack just 6 months ago. And I said, could it be the Lucky Strike Reds in your pocket? He's a smoker. Isn't it interesting when the doctor tells you you need to change your lifestyle, but he's a smoker? You know, that's what it's like, and that's a true story. And I'm like, God did not design us to help other people so in return they can give us payback and become our emotional support animal either. To where when they don't meet your emotional needs because you help them and now they're not helping you, you get to get angry, bitter, and nasty. See, that's why in Romans 1:24 it says, for the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you. Why? Because they met one of you who tried to do your way and now they met the nasty one. Look, in Proverbs 6, it talks about how we not just talk about it, we need to live the book. Not just be talkers, but walkers. You all know the story of David and Bathsheba. And see, when Nathan came in to talk to David, David was not being honest about himself. And Nathan had to expose it. Thou art the man. The woman caught in adultery. The men who dragged her down there in front of Jesus were not being honest about their own sin. They were judging her. So Jesus wrote in the sand. I think he wrote their sin. And they all walked away because they weren't being honest. You know, when we have to do church discipline, it's only after we've tried one-on-one and one-on-two to try to get them to be honest about their own sin. By the way, restoration is always the key in that situation. We're trying to get them to restore. And comparing ourselves among ourselves, we become unwise, the Bible says. Look, if you want to have a firm foundation, because when you get down to the bottom of Luke chapter 6, the Bible says that both houses, the storms beat against. Nobody gets out of this life without a problem. Nobody. The storm is going to beat on both sets of houses. The one with a foundation and one without. Nobody gets out of this life problem free. So who are you following? Who are you focusing on? What fruit are you bearing? Look at verse 43. For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit. Neither doth a corrupt tree bringeth forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of the thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. So let me ask you a question. Where's the fruit? I mean, what we value in life, that word treasure means things that of great quality and great quantity that we collect for future use. And that which we treasure reflects our values. So what is it we value? It's impossible to be a real disciple of Christ and not bear much fruit. So what is the fruit of a Christian? Now, I've asked several people that, and they're like, oh, the fruits of the Spirit. No, that's the fruit of the Spirit. What is the fruit that a Christian bears? Well, in John 15, it says much fruit, but in Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 30, the Bible says, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. It's talking about what God values most in life. Why did Jesus come? Why did Jesus come? Did he come to save the humpback whale? Did he die on the cross for the big red sequoias? Did he die for the dodo bird that is now extinct? Why did Jesus come? Did he come for the environment? Did he come for social change? Did he come for justice? No, he came for souls. He came for souls. His blood covers the sin of all mankind. That is what Christians produce. When we go out and obey the gospel, first by trusting Christ as our own Savior, then going out and winning souls to Christ. That's the fruit we're supposed to be producing. Look at the book of the Revelation, chapter 22 and verse 17. Revelation 22 and verse 17 gives us the formula. Revelation 22 and verse 17, here's your formula. The Bible is its own best commentary. And the Spirit, look at verse 17. And the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit. And the bride, that's the church, that's us, the local, visible, called out assembly of baptized believers. And the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, and the bride, that's the church, say, come. And let him that heareth, that's you and I, say, come. And let him that is athirst, that's the lost people that are searching for truth, come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Look at it again. It's the Holy Spirit, it's the local New Testament church, and those that are saved. We're all saying, come. So let's do it in reverse order. We who have heard and taken of the water of life invite those who are lost and without the life-giving water to come to the church. Then they at the church, at the bride, the pastor, me, along with the Spirit of God, will say, come. And during the invitation, you'll get a chance to walk the aisle and receive Christ. That's the formula. That's that form in your life that without your walls of your life are not strong. It depends who you follow. You really need to pay attention to who you listen to because it affects you. Because it goes in your eyes and ears and it affects your heart. Right? So who you follow. Number two. Are you willing to be honest about your own needs for change? Because only then can things get fixed. Number three, what fruit are you bearing? If today was your last day on the planet and we had to write your eulogy, what would the words be? Number four, the other wall of this house is your obedience. Verse number 46 of Luke chapter 6. Not to me, you're not obeying me. but your obedience to the Lord. Verse number 46, and why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Who is it you're obeying? I mean, really obeying. Whose opinion matters most? I mean, who is it that you'll drop everything for? I mean, that's the person who's really in charge of you. Who is it you obey? You see, the Bible talks about the Holy Spirit of God that takes up residence inside you. He's called the Comforter. And if this life was meant to be comfortable, he wouldn't have sent the Comforter. Right? Think about that. I know, I'm simple, but it works, right? It works for me. So, when God calls us to do something, it's usually very uncomfortable for us to do it. So, when we surrender to the Comforter, he empowers us to do that which is uncomfortable by giving us the power through the one that comforts us to do it. Who takes up residence inside us. And as we read the Bible and as we pray, we understand what it is God expects and what God wants. The promises we can claim that are his will for our lives. And so, yeah, all because of our unwillingness to be uncomfortable, many times we'll ignore the Comforter and the leading of the Comforter to do that which is uncomfortable. And we quench his voice. And we stymie his work in our life. And we don't grow. We don't advance. Things don't change. Our marriage doesn't change. Our kids don't change. Our circumstances don't change. Verse number 47. Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them. There's always that little phrase that we wish wasn't in your version. Right? Because we'd be good with the whole, yeah, I heard it. Your kids do that all the time. Yeah, I heard it. Then why didn't you do it? Well, that wasn't in the list. You just said, did you hear me? And I went, yeah, I heard you. Does that work Monday at work? When your boss goes, I need you to whatever. Yeah, I heard you. Jesus said, those that hear and do, I'm going to show you what your life's going to be like. Look at verse 48. He's like the man that built his house and he dug deep and laid the foundation on a rock. That took some work. That wasn't always comfortable. And when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently on the house, because listen, the floods are coming. The storm is coming. Death of a dream, the death of a relationship, the dislocation because of a job change or whatever. You may lose a contract, get a contract. You may, anything can happen. And by the way, it's going to happen to the people with or without a foundation. There's no avoiding it. The flood arose in the stream, be it vehemently. That means unrelentingly. And could not shake it. For it was founded upon a rock. But, you know, those that are just Christian in name only, would that be called sinos or crinos? Or we ought to come up with a word. That's a good one. But he that heareth and doeth not. I know what the Bible says, but. That's how that translates into America in 2024. I know what the Bible says, but don't preach to me. Don't you dare. Who are you to judge me? I'm not judging you. I'm holding the word of God and saying, God wants to do something cool in your life. God wants to do something big. God wants to unleash the powerful blessing, goodness of God into your life. He says, here's how I'm going to do it. But he that heareth and doeth not, well, God's too good to let my life fall apart. That's not what that says. No, what God is saying is, but you made your choice. I gave you the path of life. I gave you the path of blessing. I gave you the path where I was going to do incredible things. And you went, I got it. I'm good. But he, now I know that sounds really crass, but that's what I'm saying when I tell God no. When John Mix hears the Holy Spirit in his heart and God tells him to do something, like forgive, or to answer gently to my wife, or to love her with her love language, which is not natural for me. And I say no. Okay, that wasn't God's fault now. Whatever happens, it ain't his fault. Because he laid the path of life in front of me. And I chose to do what? Not do what he told me to do. So I get what I get. But he that heareth and doeth not is like the man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, and against which the same stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. I've shared with the story with you recent with several of you, and it breaks my heart. You know, so one of the downsides of the internet is I get to see the lives of people who walked away from church and didn't come back and never went back to another church. And I get to see the slow spiral. And then the generational spiral as their kids have no use for it either. And it just goes on and on and on. And the older I get, I'm now watching their children grow up away from it. And that's the downside of the internet, boys and girls, is I get to watch. I can only imagine how God feels. So what is your foundation? See, if we're founded on the right foundation, then we'll have the supernatural desire to follow right teachers and focus on our own spiritual needs and bear the fruit that glorifies God and fulfill God's request for obedience so that we will have a life that he can live through. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Does this temple you call your life, your home, your body, is it something God wants to dwell in? Is it something God feels at home in? Heavenly gracious Father, we love you, and I'm thankful, Father, that you didn't hide from us, nor that you hid the truth from us. God, you've put it right there, clear, plain, and straight. Father, you've put it in so many languages around the world, and you've put it in red letters so that it jumps off the page. And there's no mistaking, God, the promise that's been tied to it. And Father, today, we just want you to glorify yourself. We want to be that temple that you are happy and proud and glorified to live in. We want to be the one that pleases you as a person, as a family, and as a church of families. And today, Father, I ask you to put your finger on the hearts of each of us, the place in my heart, God, that needs to be brought to bear and obedience to you. Father, if there's one among us today that has yet to trust Christ as their personal Savior, has yet to realize the blood was shed for them and that their sin was borne on the cross by our Savior, that it was their sin that put him on that cross. God, please give them understanding that they may be free from the penalty of it. And Father, as we take these truths and live them, God, I know they make us free. Help us as your people to live in this freedom you've offered us, that others will come to the light and know it, and know freedom too. That our children who are following us will live in freedom. And Father, today, whatever the need is, we ask for a revival. We ask for it in Jesus' name. Amen. As Mrs. Mix begins to play, the altar is open. This is the prayer time. This is the time where you get to respond to God. This is the time where you can come and say, God, I want you to do something in my life. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to come to you. Listen, you can come down here and just, God, I want you to do something. God, I need you to do something. I'm here, though, if you want to pray. If you want somebody to pray with you. If you want to know how to trust Christ as your Savior, I'm here. I'll show you from the Bible. I'm here. Won't you come? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Christians are praying.
Your grace is more, where grace is found, is where you are, and where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in
Our Father and our God, we love you. We thank you, God, that the truth is right there in front of us. And Father, what blessings are tied to it. God, how we can call upon you and trust you. And God, how we can put these things in our life. And God, you've already said how you'll respond, how you'll work, and how you'll use it for your glory and our good. And Father, today we want our lives to count for eternity. And Father, you've shown us how. Now, Father, as we go from this place, let us tell others. Let us bear the fruit that a Christian is to bear. May we invite those to come that they may find you as we have. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. May I look this way.